The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So the Anapanasati practice involves 16 steps of mindfulness of breathing in and mindfulness of breathing out. And the eighth step, between the eighth and ninth, there's kind of a transition that goes on. And the transition is we go into the ninth. We're staying in the first eight. We're still staying very closely in, intimately involved with our embodied experience. And then that's always a foundation for the second eight. But now we're in the second eight. We're going to open up more to the realm of experience, which maybe is not so directly related to the body, so more related to the mind. And so we're still in this body section of the first half. And so in the first tetrad, it's about just learning to develop a continuity with the breathing and beginning to experience and sense the body, and especially how the body is activated by the mind, the tensions of the body, and to learn to relax that. As that relaxes, it frees up a good kind of energy in the body, and as the concentration deepens, it also awakens a kind of meditative joy and happiness, well-being, that comes with calmness, subtleness, contentment that comes just sitting here and being here. And with that as a foundation, a certain kind of meditative well-being, it's only then that this instructions then is opens up to becoming aware of aspects of the mind. And so in the step seven, the instructions are breathing in. One experiences the mental formation. Breathing out, one experiences the mental formation. So a few things about this. The word experience, the Pali word for it, as maybe the English does, has a lot to do with the physical direct experience of the sensation. And it's almost like this word that's translated as experience could be translated as one's senses for oneself. The sensations of the mind, of the mental formation. And here it's a singular, the mental formation. So it's not necessarily going and looking at all little detailed aspects of the mental formation, but the whole thing somehow, how it's experienced. So the mental formation are those experiences associated with the mind, mental activity, that we can sense and feel. So it's the mental activity that has some impact on the body that senses. I think of sensation as being very much part of the body. And so the sensations of the mind also. So it could be, for example, something that's clearly physical, that if we're afraid, our shoulders might be up and might be tense and tight. And that's a physical formation. But if we're afraid and our mind feels contracted, feels small or tight, that's the mental formations, the mental expression of the fear, of that activated state. So it's feeling the mental activity. So if particularly I associate that with thinking, if we're thinking very intensely, we might feel it physically as, you know, maybe the forehead is all bunched up and scrunched together. And that would be the bodily formation. But if we look kind of more deeply into the area around where we're thinking, if we think in the area of the brain, for example, you might feel that kind of behind the forehead, in the area of the brain, that's not particularly associated with muscles that are tightened up. There's still sensations. There might be a feeling of contraction. There might be a headache. There might be agitation. There might be a sense of pressure or pushing. There might sometimes I feel like there's a magnetic pull, gravitational pull, for me towards thinking or thinking towards me. And there's something. It feels like a pull or a tug going on. That's in relationship to the thoughts. There's a leaning in the mind. Sometimes the center of gravity of my thinking is a little bit ahead of my body. Somehow I'm leaning forward into the future a little bit. So it's possible to start feeling something that resembles or is sensation-like associated with the mental activity we do. And those are called the mental formations, the mental activities that we can feel. So what's interesting here is a variety of things. Is certainly we have a lot of mental activity. Let's look at thinking, for example. Thinking is a mental activity. And the instructions here are to feel the physical experience of thinking. And it's only feeling it. It's not thinking better or understanding what we're thinking or analyzing what we're thinking. It's not about recognizing even what we're thinking. It's simply recognizing the physicality or the sensation level of the thinking itself. So in the shorthand, I like to think of this as feeling the thinking muscle. And so the ways in which we feel the thinking feels energetic or tight or constricted, or there's pressure, or there's a hurry, or there's a kind of low energy. There's sometimes it feels swampy in the mind. Lack of clarity. There's a whole realm of things that are how it feels for us, as opposed to what it's about. And partly this is a wonderful support and aid to not get caught up. We have permission during meditation to not have to fix our thoughts, fix the world, understand what's going on, analyze what's going on. We're only asked to feel it. And feel an aspect of what the mind is doing. The mind is very important. But a particular aspect, which is the sensation level of it. So we're connected to it, but we're not being pulled into the storyline, in a sense. And we're starting to do this based on the foundation of step five and six, which is feeling this sense of well-being. So until we have some feeling of well-being, then we don't really start actively taking in what is going on in the mind, what the mental activity is about. Perhaps so that there's a container, there's a context of well-being for looking at an area of our life which is often quite difficult. And so we're not, trying to do a spiritual bypass. We're not trying to avoid our inner suffering or challenges that we have. But maybe we're touching it with a breath, with an awareness, with emotions that are supportive, that have a goodness to them, that have a calmness or kindness in them, that have a kind of generosity to them, something like that. It's on the building on the foundation of what we've done earlier in these steps of mindfulness of breathing. And so the context for becoming now aware of the mental activity is one of kindness, of goodwill, or even joy. It's one of the great, wonderful paradoxes when I first discovered it, that one can experience suffering in oneself and suffering in the world, and at the same time have a lot of joy. And in fact, my ability to go deeply into the practice of vipassana, where there are times we experience a lot of our personal suffering, was supported by having cultivated meditative joy that could hold that suffering. So it isn't one or the other, but it can be both there. And all this involves a disidentification from being locked in or overly preoccupied with what we're thinking or what we're emoting and doing like that, so that we can just hold it and be present for it in a different way than we usually are. And that's one of the opportunities here with this Anapanasati, this mindfulness of breathing. So breathing in, one experiences the mental formation. One isn't even trying to parse out the details of it, just the whole gestalt, the global feeling, the sensations of what's going on in the mind. Breathing out, one experiences the mental formation. And then because we're breathing in and breathing out, this is, again, like a support for not getting wrapped up in, not being caught by. As long as the breathing stays relaxed and smooth, we tend to have a more open, freer relationship to what we're including in that awareness, to what we're accompanying with the breathing. So I hope that makes sense. And we'll do more of this over the next few days. So if it didn't make full sense, don't worry about it too much. Maybe there's just enough that when I go on for the next days, it'll become clearer. So for now, maybe you can spend the day, this next 24 hours, reflecting, practicing this idea of accompaniment, that we're accompanying things. We're accompanying ourselves. We're accompanying our hearts, our minds, and we're accompanying other people. What does that mean, to be a companion that way? So thank you, and I look forward to tomorrow.